This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
And welcome to the Joy Jam. You're listening to Marie Gibson. I'm the host of this podcast, and we are at, oh, I should have checked this, I reckon we're at 199, one of 200 episodes. Anyway, today I'm talking to this amazing woman that I met at the Costumiers Ball. I'm doing a bit of a series on creativity, and This woman blows it out of the park. I think she's won a few awards. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Have you won? You've won some things there over the years, have you?
I have. In the 5 years that we've been going to this fabulous event, I have won the Supreme Costume Award three times.
Three times. Cut it out.
Yeah. The other two times I didn't enter the competition.
Okay. Yeah. You just thought you'd have some fun.
Yes, yes.
So you're
competition side a little bit, you know, sort of daunting sometimes, and sometimes it's nice to just have fun. Yeah,
I reckon. I think that as soon as you add competition to it, sometimes it creates a pressure that we don't always need in our lives, depending on what's going on in our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I just had this moment of panic that Amanda's not physically in the studio with us, and I just had this moment of panic thinking, oh my God, have I pushed all the buttons? Are we actually recording? And I presume we are, because the normal waves of the equipment are going up and down. But I did have a moment of panic as I was trying to reassure Amanda that there's nothing she could do wrong. So clearly it's always going to be me that's going to put it wrong. Which is how it goes with creativity, eh?
Definitely.
Happy mistakes.
Yeah, mistakes are part of the process. And it's learning from those mistakes and finding ways of making things happen, which I really love with costume and the whole brainstorming side of it. Yeah. If something doesn't work, well, we'll try something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been going from the get-go.
I know, like from the very beginning. Yeah. Yep, 5 years, and just amazing. I mean, this whole event has really been the cornerstone of my artistic journey. It's really helped me grow, not only in technical skill, but also in self-confidence. Yeah, I'm naturally a very shy person, and I struggle in crowds. Yes, painfully shy, always have been. And I do struggle with anxiety, and I find anywhere there's a lot of people, I get really anxious.
So this is both an outlet for creativity, but your worst nightmare in the making.
Yes, although I find when I'm in a costume, I feel so much more confident. I think it's
Does a costume feel safe?
For me, it does, because I can be whoever I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love to get into character and be that character.
Okay, yep. Yeah. We can definitely all work with that.
Yeah, it's definitely helped me with my self-confidence. And being recognised as an artist has really helped as well.
And because you do amazing, amazing work, have you made, because it's not just you've made your husbands as well, or your partners?
Yes, I have. He absolutely hates dressing up. And originally when I first started making costumes, like, it would just be me in a costume. And then he started noticing that I was getting a lot of attention. So he was like, make me something. And, yeah, he does it because he loves me and he's proud of me and he wants to support my art. But it's not his thing at all.
Right.
But he has a wonderful mannequin. He's got a great physique. He looks good in just about anything he wears.
Yeah, he does. I thought he was totally into this.
No, it's not his thing at all. His creative outlet is wood. He's really good with wood. He's good at building stuff. But he does enjoy the attention he gets when he's in a costume.
Does he?
He does, especially from the ladies.
he is like, you can't see this over the air, but Amanda's husband has got, he looks like he's just won a bodybuilding competition. He's got that kind of a physique.
Don't let him hear that.
No, well, when I first, I guess, saw you, not even met you, I put you both in as these beautiful people that probably lived in Auckland and lived a beautiful life and, a beautiful, rich, elite life, no less, probably were both like competing bodybuilders. And then you told me that you lived out the back of Coromandel in this kind of hippie life.
We do. So we live in between Waihee and Waihee Beach. We've got a beautiful acreage. We've got an acre and a quarter. This is our dream after our children sort of grew up and left home, was to live a more sustainable life and to be more self-sufficient. So we've been on the property for 4 years, building our beautiful off-grid tiny home. And developing the land, we're turning the whole land into permaculture with an orchard. We grow all our own vegetables. We're still planting. We're still developing. And that's what keeps us fit. So.
Yep. Tell me more. What drove that decision?
I think probably the way the world is at the moment, Marie. It's just, being self-sufficient, being able to grow our own food, with rising food prices. We're living off-grid, which was a total experiment. We haven't had a power bill in 4 years, which has been great.
Oh, my goodness. I would save tens of thousands of dollars in no time.
Although it can be challenging, if I want to use my iron, I've got to put the generator on or wait for a sunny day. So with costuming, there are challenges. Late night sessions in the garage with the generator going, using my heat gun or sewing machine.
Oh, wow. Why creative costuming?
I think creative costuming is something that sort of I just discovered later in life as an adult. As a child, always loved playing dress up. I remember having a box with some of my mother's old ball gowns and dresses, and I used to play in that and pretend I was a princess. And, I grew up with a terminally ill mother. She was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 3 weeks old. And she coped with it until I was about 10, and then she got the diagnosis that she was terminal. So that was pretty hard for me as a child. I had a lot of time on my own. And I used to, we spent a lot of time in hospitals and cancer hospices, and I used to pass the time reading fairy tales and fantasy books and books about myths and legends, and I just got totally lost in a world of make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a child with a big imagination. Never did very well at school, struggled as an academic. For me, school was boring.
Yeah.
I often got scolded for daydreaming. My school reports, it's got Amanda was a dreamer. I was, later in life, I was labelled a failure at school. I had terrible grades, except for art or anything creative. And I remember talking to a careers advisor, and she told me, girls like you end up working in supermarkets or becoming hairdressers. So I became a hairdresser.
Ah.
So that's my background.
Yeah.
It was it was a creative job and doing an apprenticeship, which was hands-on. I'm the kind of person that if you keep my brain active and my hands busy, I'm happy. So while it was a creative job and outlet for me, I found constantly trying to please people all the time difficult. You know, the perfect client would come in and say, do whatever you like. And that's what I love about creativity is that freedom of expression and doing what I see and creating, whatever it might be.
And it
wasn't until later in life when I met my husband. I had two children to a previous partner, and he introduced me to the world of music and festivals.
That was like the festival guy.
Yes, yeah, I'd never been to a music festival. Being a young mum with two kids, and I was on my own for a long time with two kids working. Paying off a mortgage on my own, it was quite challenging. And so I didn't really have a social life as a young adult. I was devoted to my kids and being a mum. And so we started going to music festivals. And one in particular that we took the kids to when they were younger is Splore Festival. So this is held, it was at that stage held every 2 years in Tāpapakanga, which is a reserve in the Hariki Gulf. Beautiful beach, the most creative thing I think I'd ever experienced. I felt like I was Alice that had gone down the rabbit hole, where it was just amazing, the first one that we went to. And I didn't know it was a dress-up, so we didn't have any costumes. And there were so many people dressed up. They refer to it as New Zealand's largest dress-up party. I mean, you've got 7,000 to 10,000 people on the Saturday night all dressed up. So that's kind of where it started for me. And we thought, right, we're going to go back to Splore again. I better make sure we have some costumes. So Richard, my husband, he had lovely long dreadlocks. So I wrapped his dreadlocks in tin foil.
Yeah.
We got two silver masks from the dollar store and some tinsel. I had a tinsel wig, and that was my first attempt at a costume. And that was about 10 years ago.
Okay, well, it certainly didn't end there.
No, it didn't. And then I met my best friend in life, Sam, Captain Fantastic, who was at the event.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my gosh, Sam and I just clicked. She was into costuming big time.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we're going to go to Splore with you. What are you going to wear? And so the Saturday night is the party night at Splore where everyone dresses up.
Yeah.
And so I decided, right, I'm gonna have to step it up. And so I made a blue Morpho costume, which is a beautiful blue butterfly. I made my first headpiece. I had a corset with LED wire on it, which lights up. So I had battery packs, had a tutu. I went the whole nines, and I just got so many compliments. And, yeah, it was just so much fun being in dress-up. So from there, Sam and I were like, okay, what are we going to do next year? So I said, well, why don't we dress up?
It's addictive, isn't it? Like, once you catch the bug.
Totally addictive.
That's it. You're off.
Yep. So the next year we dressed up the Friday and the Saturday night. We had costumes and we went all out. And Sam and I would spend hours on the phone talking about what we're going to wear, where we're going to source all our stuff, how we're going to make it. And so that was the start of a beautiful friendship, which is still going.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where, okay, let's not wear any muggle clothes at Splore. We're just going to be in costumes the whole weekend. and so we had to go from a tent to a van because I couldn't fit everything in.
Yeah.
And then eventually we had to buy a caravan to fit all my heads and all my costumes.
Oh, my goodness. It was you, not even Captain Fantastic's stock.
No. This was prior to Sam starting up her business as Captain Fantastic.
Right.
That's
okay.
Where the love of costuming came from.
Yeah.
I'm a maker. I'm a creative. I'm a maker. I like to make my own costumes.
Yeah.
You know, I would buy pieces to wear with it. Unfortunately, I didn't learn to sew as a child. I wish I had.
Yeah.
I came from a family of women who excelled at sewing, but it was just a real, it just wasn't me at that age. And I have now been sewing for a year. So it's definitely a skill which is going to help me so much with my costuming. And yep. I am learning more and more each day. I'm actually in my craft room working on my next piece at the moment.
Are you?
I am.
What are you working on?
Well, I'm off to the thrift shop ball at Mount Maunganui in about 3 weeks' time. It's a lovely event where it's all about sustainability and thrifted fashion. So ball attire, go all out as long as it's thrifted.
Oh.
I've been going to this event for about 3 years now. Won best dressed at the last two events, so this year they've invited me back to be a judge. But I'm going to make something really cool and anything to wear.
That's fun.
Last year I wore a lampshade. Well, actually I wore four lampshades. This is my crazy brain.
Yep.
I decided, I wonder if you could wear a lampshade. So I bought an old lampshade off Marketplace.
Yep.
It was narrow at the top, and then it sort of flared out at the bottom, you know, your typical sort of 70s lampshade.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Richard to cut the wire at the back and cut all the wire on the inside out. And I turned it into like an underbust corset with a skirt. And I bent it so it shaped around, so I would wear it under bust. And I made a modesty panel to go across the back. And I found some old retro fabric, and I hand covered it in this lovely hot pink and purple paisley retro fabric with bright pink tassels. So I wore that around my middle, like an underbust corset and skirt. And then I had two smaller little lampshades, which I did the same thing. I removed the internal frames, and I turned those into sleeves. They were like cuffs. Covered them in the same fabric, and then I also had one on my head. So I was the shady lady walking down the main street of Mount Maunganui in my lampshade, shaking my tassel. That's how crazy it gets with my costuming. Yeah. Hello. You're still there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, there was a bit of a glitch. Okay. We're all back. We're back to it.
Good.
Take me right back to the beginning, before Rotorua, before everything, when you were a little girl.
When I was a little girl.
When you were a little girl, wanting to play dress-ups and what you used to do.
What I used to do, I used to put my mother's dress-ups on. My father had a record player, and I would put his rock and roll records on, and I would dance around the house, pretending I was a princess or a fairy or whatever.
Yep.
I used to love doing it.
Did you go on the stage as a little kid?
No, I was terribly shy. Terribly shy in school, and then my mother used to take me to play centre. I would hide under her skirt. I couldn't look anybody in the eye. I was a very, very shy child. So
this fantasy world lived completely inside of you?
Inside of me, yeah.
And so it was only really the making of the costumes that manifested from this fantasy world.
Yes, I think it did. I mean, I've always been creative. I've just never found my creative niche until I started making costumes. And making art to wear, which has its challenges, is just something that I'm absolutely obsessed with. I love to wear my art. You know, I love to make something and wear it and showcase it.
And so where did those ideas come from?
My crazy brain, which never stops. I'm highly likely ADHD. Both my children are. They're adult children who have been fully diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I'm so like them. and they're like, Mum, we're sure you are.
Yeah. Do you think that helps or hinders your aunt?
It's probably been why I've had a lot of challenges in life, but I also think it's possibly my superpower.
Yeah.
I think that's why I am so creative, and I love being around other people that are creative. And I've noticed in the environment with the ball that there are a lot of neurodivergent people that go along there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I am just so drawn to those people. I feel like, oh my gosh, there are other people like me in the world. And I could talk to them all day.
Yeah.
I really could, and bounce ideas. I'm an active relaxer. I really struggle to just switch off.
Do you?
For me, relaxing is costuming or gardening or cooking or doing something with my hands.
You're always on the go?
I'm always on the go. My brain doesn't stop. My husband says I never stop talking. And I struggle with sleep. Sleep's not something that's ever come easily for me. I struggle to switch off. So I'm often late at night costuming, crafting, doing something creative.
Yeah.
So
how did it come about, the costumier's ball?
The costumier's ball, well, we'd been going to floor and, I was getting better at making costumes.
Getting better, I reckon you should be entering in WOW.
That's a goal. It is a goal.
That is a goal. It should be a serious goal.
It is.
Yeah.
For me, it's a confidence thing, and with the technical skill, I really need to get my sewing skills up to speed. And so those are things I'm working on. But for me, how I got into the costumer's ball, as I said, I started getting recognised at Splore for my costumes. And 8 years ago, I made Medusa.
Yep.
And I wore Medusa again on Friday night. I don't know if you saw her.
Yes, I absolutely saw her.
So Medusa's still going strong after 8 years. It was nice to bring her back to life.
Yeah.
And that's where I first got noticed. And my artist name has come from that. I'm Madam Medusa. That's my artist name on Instagram, where I post all my costumes and art.
Madam Medusa.
Madam Medusa, because that was my first big costume. People still come up to me today at festivals and say, I remember you as Medusa.
Wow.
Just randomly. Kids, adults, families, interacting with children with costumes, I love doing. I will encourage every child to play dress up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So from Medusa, I started making, more technical costumes. And I was on Facebook one day and I saw this ad coming up for the Costumer's Fantasy Masquerade Ball. I thought, this could be a bit of me, something a little bit different, something outside of the festival thing.
Yeah.
So I read the brief, and it just sort of happened to coincide that I was turning 50 that year.
So I said
to hubby, I said, well, this would be a good birthday present. I could make something cool and we could go to a ball. And then I told Sam, and she was on board, and she was like, oh, let's go. So we booked our ticket, but then unfortunately sort of COVID and all that sort of hit, and with lockdowns and stuff, it was postponed for a year, which actually gave me time to actually create something pretty spectacular for my first ball.
Yes.
So I made the Dark Lord and the Red Queen. That was our first ball costume. We were all in red and black.
Oh, wow.
I upcycled an old op shop dress because I couldn't sew at that stage.
Yeah.
So I cut it down into a skirt. It was full and I had a petticoat underneath it. I hand covered a corset, that just hand sewing, which I could do. But for me, I really love making headpieces. And that's what I really enjoy doing. And it's not easy trying to fit something to a head, especially when you've got long dreadlocks. That adds another challenge because I like to wear wigs with my headpieces.
Yeah.
But I'm the kind of person where there's a will, there's a way, and I just make it happen. So They made a lovely big red kind of gothic headpiece with old broken jewellery. It had horns on it. It was very sort of Victorian gothic. Had a lovely laced, black laced sort of bolero with long gothic sleeves. And Richard, I made his headpiece with big horns, and I felted red wool into long dreadlocks.
Wow.
And that was the first time I made a skull mask. You probably know I'm a bit obsessed with skulls.
Yeah, well, as is my wife.
So wow. I made our skull masks, and we dressed up, and we went to the first ball not knowing what to expect, and it was a weekend event, and we were there for the 2 days, and the people that I met and just clicked and gelled with, I think the community around this event is what I love most.
Absolutely. It's a warm, inviting, you know, look forward to see each year kind of a community.
That is a community, and there are so many creatives in this community. You know, there's a lot of people that make outstanding costumes that don't compete. And it's like there's no real competition there. Everyone's so loving and supportive. You know, we all help each other. We all learn from each other. And it's just a wonderful community. And I really hope the event keeps going and continues to grow.
Yeah, so what are your guesses?
What are my guesses?
Yeah.
Well, I've got 2 years to make something pretty cool. So.
Yeah. Where would you think the ideal city would be?
I know financially there's a lot of issues around that, but I think personally probably Auckland. I have a lot of friends that love costuming that live in Auckland that would come to the event because it's close.
Right.
It's also easier for internationals or people to fly into Auckland, I guess.
All true. That's all fair point. And I would certainly, I would not go to it if it was in Auckland.
No. I mean, Rotorua has been great too. It's not too far from home. And there's AJ's there, which we love to stop in and have a rummage.
Yep. Got old AJ's.
Awesome surprise. Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow. Any hints as to what you're working on for 2027?
I haven't really thought about it too in-depthly at the moment. I'm sort of engrossed in my thrift shop ball costume. It's a busy time of year because both events are only 3 weeks apart. And this year with the ball, I procrastinated a little bit and didn't start my costume until 4 weeks out. I mean, it was like head down, hyper-focus. Poor old hubby had, you know, terrible dinners because I was too busy costuming.
Well, you both looked magnificent. You know,
Thank you. The
effort, the dedication and the commitment to character is what I really enjoy. Being a drama teacher, I'm all over that, and it's like you don't even break character while you're, like, when you were the white deer.
Yes.
It was, yes. You were like that all night long.
Exactly. I just get into character and I become that character or that person. This year was the first time I've ever done a cosplay. I've never really sort of been into the whole cosplay thing.
Yep, and that was Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider, Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
And that was fun. It was fun doing that. We're going to go to our very first Armageddon in spring in Auckland. So
yep.
I figured if I could make a cosplay, I could wear it to both events. But normally I'm a fantasy artist. For me, repetition is not something that really inspires me.
Right, so you make something different for every event.
Yes, yeah. I love something that's just totally unique. I'm inspired probably with anything fantasy. My garden inspires me. I love nature, you know, from birds to butterflies. And so those sort of things really inspire
me. So
you'd rather
create something original than create a character of a show?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like Spider-Man and Batman have been done before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with Ghost Rider, I tried to make it my own. I guess it's a little bit like Master Chef, you know, when you create a dish that somebody else has created, but you make it your own. And that's what I try to do with my art and what I tried to do with Ghost Rider.
And it was fantastic. What a... One where we've already yapped on for half an hour on the joys of your creativity. One final thing you would say to encourage other people to go to the ball. Yes, like what is one of the things that you get out of the ball that perhaps people might not think of?
Well, you don't actually have to make costumes to go to this event. You can hire costumes, you can buy costumes, you can borrow things. I mean, a lot of people are really good at just putting looks together.
Yeah.
If you have a love for dressing up, having fun, meeting people, then this event is for you, you know.
And you never feel like you're alone.
No.
You know, you can just go and sit down at breakfast and someone will talk to you, eh?
Oh,
that's what I think.
It's so lovely actually staying at the hotel with everybody. I mean, you know, there's people that are in costume 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, they come down to breakfast in their onesies with their tiaras and, yeah, it's great.
Oh,
I just love it. For me,
creativity.
It's really important for adults to have time out to play. You know, we're always taught in life that, oh, you've got to grow up, you've got to take on all these responsibilities. But just being an adult, with letting your hair down, having some fun, I think everybody needs a good dose of that in life.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need to take ourselves so bloody seriously.
No.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for having me, Marie. It's been great.
Okay, ka kite.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.